This is the sound of your ride home with dad after he caught you vaping. Awkward, isn't it? Most vapes contain seriously addictive levels of nicotine and disappointment. Know the real cost of vapes. Brought to you by the FDA.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Word on Today FM.
Ian Guider sitting in for Matt this week, but as always on Monday, it's time for TV and streaming. Joe O'Shea and Elaine Burke are with us as always, but we're not looking back at the TV for this week. We're looking back at the best bits of 2024. Elaine, we've got a few different picks from both of you. What was your standout this year?
I'm going to go with the one that Joe didn't like, which is Ripley. I really, really enjoyed this interpretation of a story that already has been done quite well in the film, but I thought this take on it was just a slower study, and it's nice to see that kind of take on TV at the moment where it was a slow build, a real character study. In some episodes, like, nothing really dramatic happens, and even when dramatic things happen, they are drawn out in a way that you don't often see anymore. There's a scene in a boat which I held my breath for most of it, and it goes on for a long time, but it's really tense, really dramatic. I think Andrew Scott was absolutely brilliant in it, pitch perfect. And I know he's up against Colin Farrell now for the Golden Globe win, and I really hope he's the one who gets it, actually.
I haven't looked at even the trailer for it. That's how so far behind I am on getting to things. But I was kind of thinking, I'm not taken by it. But the look of it, I don't know what it is, but you're obviously hooked on it.
Oh yeah, 100%. Like, obsessed with it. Me and my partner, like, my birthday card this year, my partner drew a scene from Ripley in it. I mean, I couldn't be more obsessed with this show from this year.
Well, before we get to Joe, let's have a listen to a little bit of Andrew Scott and Dakota Fanning in Ripley.
Tom.
Martinis.
I was looking for a needle and thread.
Well, that's fine. There's some in there.
Dickie's ring is in here.
Right, I put it there.
Why would you put it anywhere? Why would you have it?
Because he gave it to me. Not gave to me, not to keep, to keep safe.
What are you talking about?
When he went to Palermo. He was worried he was going to get robbed there, I think.
You never worried about that before?
Well, I've never been to Sicily before. It concerned him, he said.
Oh, Tom.
Joe, you weren't a fan of that.
I wasn't, and apparently because, and this might sound a bit ridiculous, but the black and white thing just didn't work for me at all, because most of this was set on the Amalfi Coast in Italy, and that's the place I've been to. And if there's one place where you've got light and colour and beauty and all that kind of stuff, is the Amalfi Coast. And I know it was a deliberate choice by the makers of the show to give it that kind of stark look and all that kind of stuff, but also the kind of the slowness of it, and maybe it's a failing more of the way I consume TV these days than the actual show. I just couldn't get the pacing of it at all. I needed a bit more life in it. I thought Andrew Scott kind of like, sometimes, somebody, he seemed like acting as if he'd suffered a recent concussion. You know, it was all very slow, and you heard it there in that clip. But I mean, I can understand why people loved it. It's one of those shows I think that you're going to love or maybe just not get into at all.
Let's get on to your top pick of the year. What was it?
Anybody who's been listening to us through the year probably won't be surprised to hear this. And it's not just me, because this was the record-winning Emmy drama of all time. 18 primetime Emmys for Shogun. And Shogun was incredible. And one of the reasons why it was incredible is because it didn't do what you thought it would do. If you looked at the clips and the promos for this, you would think that it was some sort of like gladiator kind of show or something like, you know, Game of Thrones or something like that. Lots of guys in Japanese armor running around and killing each other. It wasn't that at all. It was incredible, epic, beautiful, character-driven drama, like over, I think, 6 episodes. And it had some incredible acting in it. And you know, there was a trio at the centre of it, two Japanese actors and Cosmo Jarvis. Cosmo Jarvis playing the guy, if you remember the early 80s version of Shogun with Richard Chamberlain, Cosmo Jarvis playing this kind of this English adventurer ship guy who gets kind of shipwrecked in Japan in the 1660s. Shogun is beautiful. Shogun is so mesmerizing and you just get so deep into it. If you're looking for something to totally take you out of your current reality over Christmas, I couldn't recommend it highly enough.
Yeah, I'm actually going to be catching up on Shogun over Christmas because it's something that I intended to watch, but then my partner wasn't really into it, so I had to find time by myself to do it. But now I've decided I'm going to watch it with my mum because she's going to love all the action and all the beauty in it. And I think it's been a really good year, I think, for foreign language TV shows, and Shogun is a really great example of that, because not only has it been critically acclaimed, but it's winning all these awards and stuff like that, and that drives people to watch more of this stuff that's not necessarily going to be given to them in their first language, and I think that's a good thing for TV watching.
Joe just had a text in. The English lad's accent was just annoying, so there you go on that one for Shogun, I beg your pardon.
Yeah, again, a lot of actors these days are taking risks, shall we say, you know, and Cosmo Jarvis did do a very kind of mannered and unusual kind of accent for this. I thought he was great, but actually the guy's life was Hiroyuki Sanada, who played the kind of this Japanese warlord, this kind of like incredible complex character. He was just incredible, and the Anna Sawai was fantastic as well. It's just all brilliant.
Let's move on. Elaine, you picked it keeps popping up on for the ad for this. Every time I open my Disney Plus app on the machine, it shows up for Rivals, and I do want to look at it, but I kind of think it's a Julie Cooper novel, which are they're set in the 80s. Is it really relevant to these days?
I almost overlooked Rivals entirely. If not for my partner was sat at home one weekend and watched the first episode just out of sheer curiosity and said, oh, you need to watch this because we're going to watch this together. This is going to be so good. And he was absolutely right. I loved it. I wouldn't have picked this up if he hadn't told me to, because I was thinking a Jilly Cooper adaptation on Disney Plus. Like, what is that going to do for me? But the cast is incredible. It's a really broad cast of characters. You've got David Tennant in fine form. You've also got some Irish actors in there, Aidan Turner and Victoria Smurphy. Danny Dyer and Catherine Parkinson have great on-screen chemistry, I have to say. And you've got all of this like sex and power and a broadcast of characters. And it strikes me as this is Game of Thrones if it was more crap, basically. And set in the 80s in the media world and like this real tough-centric part of the world as well. It's really camp and really, really fun. And I'd really recommend it actually for a Christmas watch because you could binge it and you could have a lot of fun watching it.
Yeah, let's have a listen to the trailer from it.
I think I've had this dream.
Resist the conquest.
Despite your money, you are a lonely man.
You don't care who you hurt to get what you want, do you?
I want you to stay away from my daughter.
There's something different about Daddy.
I appear to be a little stuck.
Welcome to the Catwall. I didn't ask to come here. They haven't had an orgasm since Pony Club Camp.
You know you're dancing with the devil. I'm gonna destroy you. Have to try harder than that if you want to beat me.
Joe, the trailer has it all. It's the soundtrack, the 80s. It's got the gin set, the horsey set. It's everything.
Yeah, and this is one that I am going to watch over Christmas. And I didn't have time to see it, but I've so many people have told me it's just great fun. And it's definitely on my list. Because again, that's what you're looking for. Christmas, New Year, you got some time, binge watch it.
One of your picks, Joe, and I totally agree with you on this, is Wolf Hall, which is concluded, I think it was yesterday it finished on the BBC. But it just looks so superb. And I've read the books there. The trio of books by Hilary Mantel are just fantastic.
Yeah, this is not exactly a left-field choice, because Wolf Hall, The Mirror and the Light, like, we had to wait 9 years after the first series, you know, and it was worth it. You know, I wish it had happened sooner. And my big regret is there's not going to be any more of this, because this was just incredible TV. And Mark Rylance, Thomas Cromwell, like, it's just, again, mesmerising is the word you'd have to use. It's just a pity that I'm going to go back again and watch the first series again from way back 9 years ago over Christmas, because I just couldn't get enough of this. So Wolf Hall, The Mirror and the Light. If you haven't watched either of the Wolf Hall series, do yourself a favour and catch it over Christmas.
Yeah, and let's have a little bit of a listen to Wolf Hall.
In Rome, when Cardinal Bainbridge died, it was given out at the time that one of his own household poisoned him.
You know different, do you?
They arrested a priest, name of Rinaldo, but I've often suspected that he did not act alone. This was all before your time, of course. Bainbridge took ill at the dinner table, a powder in his broth.
Like when Bishop Fisher was poisoned, when the cook was boiled alive.
We are losing our appetites here.
The powder was bought in Spoleto. I know the shop.
Does the shop know you? This priest, Ronaldo, I suppose somebody paid him to do it.
Naturally, Bishop Gilly.
Wolsey's old crony.
Exactly. Wolsey's chief friend in Rome. With Bainbridge removed, Wolsey was cleared to be the next English cardinal. You were in Rome then, weren't you, Cromwell? It's interesting, that.
How were you in Rome, my Lord Cromwell?
Private business. I did not know Wolsey then.
You always knew Wolsey.
You are seriously accusing Lord Cromwell?
There was no lord in those days.
Damien Lewis and Mark Rylance, they've grown into these roles. And as Joe said, it's been 9 years, but the ageing of them has really set them as the ageing king. He's on his stick in it. Mark Rylance's face is just, it's just superb. It really is, Elaine.
Yeah, and something about Wolf Hall is as well, like, every still from this show looks like a beautiful painting as well. Like, it is very lush, very rich to watch. And actually, I think it would be a cosy one to watch over Christmas as well, if you can get your hands on it.
There's something you picked, and I didn't think you, of all people, would pick Mr. and Mrs. Smith.
I know, this is a surprise.
Of all the years when there has been some decent stuff this year.
Has there? I do think overall this year was a bit poor. We've had the fallout of the SAG-AFTRA and WGA strikes from last year kind of hitting the TV stream this year. And also, I think Prestige TV is also siphoning off a lot of the budget that could have gone to maybe smaller, interesting projects. And some of the Prestige TV doesn't pan out as well as it's meant to. And the streamers are actually extending the lifetime of how long it takes to make a show. I mean, Severance Seasons 2 is going to finally arrive at some point next year. So we're getting these gap years, it feels like. And we also have, you know, Succession is over and nothing has really come up to take its spot, even though many things have tried. And then you have everyone's trying to be Slow Horses now, because Slow Horses is really popular. And season 4 of Slow Horses was good, but I don't think it was the best of all the seasons of Slow Horses. And we have a lot of copycats in that area. And Mr. and Mrs. Smith, I think, of all the spy stuff that came out this year that tried to take the Slow Horses crown, this is the best contender. And I was not expecting to like this as much as I did. I thought the film from the noughties was dreadful, with Angelina Jolie and Brad Pitt in it. But the concept of the spy couple who actually are pretending to be a couple because they don't get recognised as spies as a couple, but then they end up forming a relationship together, is really interesting as a concept. And they even go through with a kidnapping of Ron Perlman. They have what turns out to be kind of like nearly a parent vibe with him, which is quite entertaining to watch in an episode. They have guest stars in every episode that are really impressive. They go to couple therapy with Sarah Paulson, but they obviously can't tell Sarah Paulson that their work and the stress from work, what the nature of that work is. And they use these kind of concepts that have been done before, but it's really clever, really original, really fresh. And the cast is really exceptional. Donald Glover plays the lead. is like part of the creation team behind the show. And his on-screen chemistry with Maya Erskine is also so good to watch. Like, it's really easy to watch these two do what they're doing in this show.
Joe, I want to go on to one of your picks, and it would certainly be up there, the top three of mine for this year, and it's Masters of the Air. It's, ugh. I've watched the opening episode, I think about two or three times now, just watched it back. It's just so good.
Yeah, I realise that a lot of my picks are kind of like in the category of dad TV, historical epics and war and all that kind of stuff. But Masters of the Air, again, was another one of those. It's the third... The third installment of the Steven Spielberg and Tom Hanks kind of World War II trilogy after Band of Brothers and Pacific. And it's as good as either of those, and maybe better in a way, because we had to wait.
It's better. It's better.
Yeah. It's probably better because the technology is obviously come forward, and there's a lot of special effects to these and incredible aerial scenes. For people who don't know, it's about the a bomber group called the Bloody 100 and that kind of daytime bombing raids over Germany, which were absolute carnage for all concerned. But Masters of the Air took way too long to make because of COVID and other problems. But one of the things you got with that then was this ridiculously kind of hot cast of young actors that maybe weren't so big at the time they were cast: Austin Butler, Callum Turner, and our own Barry Keoghan. So, and a couple of other people as well that you recognise now, but weren't so big at the time. It's brilliant because it's again character driven, even though it's all about the action as well. And it really brings you inside this incredible time, and it covers so much ground as well, because you have the French Resistance, you have concentration camps, you have POW camps, you have the air war. It's just. It's absolutely fantastic. And again, if you're looking for a fantastic show, Masters of the Year on Apple TV over Christmas is just brilliant. I'm going to watch it again as well.
I'm joining you in that. Actually, Elaine, I want to bring you in something that's, again, David Mitchell, obviously, Peep Show, fantastic. New series on BBC Ludwig, which I don't think a lot of people would have come across.
No, it was just this like midweek end of the year. I think it was only like a 6 or 8-parter show that came up. And I really enjoyed this. This is basically episodic murder mystery for wordlers, which I am, and I'm a big fan of Murder, She Wrote and episodic whodunits, so this was right up my street. David Mitchell is really well cast as this reclusive puzzle setter who is drawn out into the big bad world because his twin brother, who happens to be a homicide detective, has gone missing, and then he has to take his place. Farce ensues, but there's also a real heart to this show as well, and Anna Maxwell-Martin, who's kind of the perfect foil to David Mitchell in this, is his sister-in-law and also pretending to be the wife of him when he's pretending to be his brother. And she brings a lot of heart to it. She's had a really star turn this year, I think, Anna Maxwell-Martin. If anyone watches Motherland, they might recognise her from that. And she's had a few good leading roles, and I feel like she's on the rise now. I think Ludwig is going to get a season 2. I reckon it's going to get picked up by other broadcasters outside of BBC as well. And sometimes you just want good, simple TV that delivers. This is not prestige. This is, a hackneyed take on something that's done a lot. Or not a hackneyed take, sorry, I should say. But the whodunit concept is not new. But they did it in an interesting way where he's kind of like solving crimes through solving his puzzles. And if you're a puzzler, if you like David Mitchell, if you watch the show that his wife hosts, Only Connect, I think you'd like this.
Yeah, I might have a quick check on it. As I said, anything he did, Peep Show, absolutely fantastic in it. Joe and Elaine, I'm really shocked. Neither of you picked The Day of the Jackal as one of the highlights of the year. Oh. I am Joe, I'm almost at the end of it, but we shall pull you up for that one another time. Elaine Burke and Joe O'Shea, thank you very much for joining us for the best of streaming and TV for 2024.
The Last Word on Today FM.
A touch of formaldehyde, a pinch of acetaldehyde, a splash of acrolein makes the perfectly evil vape cloud.
Vaping can expose you to a toxic mix of chemicals. Know the real cost of vapes. Brought to you by the FDA.